Six music.
BBC Radio, Six Music Documentaries.
I'm Matt Everett, and welcome to the first time on Six Music. This is the series where we meet some of the most influential and best-loved musicians around and look at the seminal first musical moments that shaped their lives and their careers. I don't really know where to start with this week's guest. She was born in 1939 in Chicago, the youngest of four children. For a time, her father worked in the Dockery's Farm Cotton Plantation in Mississippi, which is regarded as the birthplace of Delta blues music. And he was a guitarist and a singer who encouraged his family to sing gospel from a young age, especially our guest, who made her first performance debut at church aged just 10. Her dad and his daughters formed a group, with the youngest sharing lead vocals. They would become music superstars, taking music from the Black Church and blending it with soul and jazz and folk. They would record for Riverside, Epic, and later the famous Stax label. And significantly, the subject matter of their songs would grow to encompass the emerging US civil rights movement, and they'd perform at marches and rallies. Both solo and with her group, she would record classic singles like I'll Take You There and Come Go With Me. And her continued campaigning has secured her status as an important political voice, while her singing itself would go on to earn her countless fans and attract collaborators like Bob Dylan, the band and Prince. I'm very proud to say my guest on The First Time this week is Mavis Staples.
We'll hitch our hopes to a star, and with a little love in our hearts we'll get old. Get over things in life we desire. May seem a little hard to come by, but we'll get over. We'll get over.
Here Mavis talks about their very earliest experiences singing in church, Staple Singers' distinctive vocal and musical style, but also the racism and violence they faced touring in the late 50s and early 60s, especially in the American South. She also discusses her memories of performing for Martin Luther King. Her father, Pop Staples, was friends with him. We also talk about recording with a band, as the Staple Singers' version of The Wait, the one that closes the band's live film The Last Waltz, is probably the greatest piece of music ever captured on celluloid. And we also talk about her more recent output, which has seen her collaborate with Benjamin Brooker and Wilco's Jeff Tweedy. Jeff Tweedy produced her most recent album, If All I Was Black. But I started by asking Mavis, as I do with all my guests, when was the very first time she was aware of music?
Really? I would sing to myself. I would sing songs like You Are My Sunshine, My Only Sun, stuff I'd hear on the radio.
You are my sunshine, my only sunshine. You make me happy when skies are gray.
And I Love You, A Bushel and a Peck. You know, those songs were really the first.
I love you, a bushel and a peck. A bushel and a peck, though you make my heart a wreck. Make my heart a wreck.
And then the show enough music that I kept with me and I loved mostly was at my grandma's church down in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these songs that they would sing were, there was no organ, no piano, no guitar, just patting the feet and clapping your hand. And that was the best sound to me in the world.
Oh, I was standing by my window on one cold and cloudy day. And I saw the hearse come rolling for to carry my mother away.
But I didn't know I could sing, could be a singer, until my father started us to singing, you know. I was about 8 years old, and Pops was singing with an all-male group. And these guys wouldn't come to rehearsal. So he would come home, discuss it. And about the third time he came home, he was so disgusted, he went straight to the closet, pulled out a little guitar he had bought at the pawn shop. And he called my sisters and my brother. He goes us to the living room, sit us on the floor in a circle. And my Aunt Katie lived with us. She said, Roebuck, what are you doing? He said, I'm going to sing with my children. You know? And she said, oh, you know they'll be at rehearsal. Yeah, they're. And Pop started giving us voices to sing, voices that he and his sisters and brothers would sing when they were in Mississippi.
Okay.
And we all, the four of us, we started singing. And Katie came through one night. She said, shucks, y'all sound pretty cool. She said, I believe I want y'all to sing at my church Sunday. And we did. We sang the very first song Pops taught us, Will the Circle Be Unbroken? And the people kept clapping us back. We had to sing that song three times. It was the only song Pops had taught us all the way through, you know? So Pops said, shucks, these people like us. We're going home and learn some more songs. The rest is history. But the first, that was the very first that I knew I felt like I could sing.
I was standing by my window on a cold and cloudy day when I saw the hearse come a rolling. Oh, to carry my mother away.
circle, being broken by and by, Lord, by and by. There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. Oh, I told Undertaker, please drive slow, 'cause this lady that you are hauling, oh, I hate to see her go. Will this circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky. I will follow close behind her, try to hold up and be brave, but I could not hold my sorrow when they laid her in the grave. Will a circle be unbroken by and by, Lord, by and by? There's a better home awaiting in the sky, Lord, in the sky.
This music always made you feel fantastic. Is it, has that passion always been there?
It has. It's always been there. It makes me feel good. Makes me feel happy, you know. And it was just meant for me. Meant for me to be a singer. You know, my voice, Pops has let me know that Mavis, just God's gift to you. You don't, because I didn't like to rehearse. And Pops would tell me, he said, Mavis, you don't know music. You don't know nothing. You don't know what key you sing in. He said, if you keep this up, that's a gift. And if you don't use it, he'll take it back. That scared me. And I would be in rehearsal before everybody. I'd be sitting right there on the floor. I didn't want the Lord to take my voice back. You know? So to this day, I still don't know what key I sing in.
Really?
I don't know keys. I don't know. My father, if wherever he hit that guitar, I would know where to sing.
Let's do another first. First time you were in a recording studio, can you remember? Was it quite intimidating?
Yes. I remember.
Yeah?
Oh, I remember.
Was it quite, because I mean, it's a different environment to a church, you know, a recording studio. What was it like?
It was kind of spooky. You know, it was, I was nervous because I knew that we were about to put our voices down to be played on the radio. Well, I was like 13 years old.
Oh, your baby.
Yeah. Maybe that's why I was so scared. I don't know. But it was the first record, and it was Uncloudy Day. Mm-hmm. And don't you know that this lady, this was Vivian Carter, VJ Records. A lot of people think Berry Gordy was the first black label, but VJ was the very first.
Right.
Yeah. And Vivian Carter and her husband, she saw us in church that Sunday that we sang Will Circle Be Unbroken. She called Pop. She said, Staples, you and those children need to be on record. And Pop said, no, I'm not going to let my children make a record.
Really?
He said, I don't know nothing about them records. Yeah. He didn't know. And we were still, I was about 9 years old then. And my sister Yvonne, she had the business head. You know, she got these books, this business of music and all that.
All right.
And she learned, and then Pops would ask people about the professionals who were already, a lot of our friends, gospel singers, he'd ask them about the soul stirrers. And they would tell Pops about the record business. Well, after so long, when I got to be 12, Pops called Vivian. He said, okay, Vivian, I let them sing on record now. Because he felt like he knew.
Yeah.
So Unclouded Day, as that record started playing, she would call Pop. She said, Staples, this record is sounding like an R&B. We were singing Unclouded Day, a gospel song. And it was the way Pops had our voices. See, it was so different. And then Pops had a tremolo on his guitar.
Mm-hmm.
And we sounded, nobody knew what to do with us. You know? And Unclouded Day, I was singing a lady's bass. Well, oh, Lord, they tell me now. And people would actually bet that I was not a little girl. You know, I was just
didn't believe you.
They didn't believe it. They didn't believe it. When we would be going to places, they'd say, this is little Mavis Staples, little girl. 12, 13 years old, and people would actually bet. When we get to these places, and the disc jockey would tell us, listen, people are betting that your daughter's not, that's not her singing. So we would get on stage and we'd fool the people. We'd sing down in harmony. Whoa, they tell me. Everybody sang that part. And then when I come in with my part, my brother would step up to the mic like he was going, and you'd hear all over the, I told you that wasn't no little girl. I told you. And man, and while they going through that, I ease in. I said, well, oh. And boy, the place would go, wow. One man got mad at me, shook his finger in my face, little old girl, I bet my whole paycheck. Pop said, well, see, you shouldn't bet. Shouldn't bet.
Oh, they tell me.
This is BBC Radio 6 Music.
We, the Staple Singers, are here tonight to worship with you in singing God praises. We are here to have a service. Isn't that right? That's good. We're not here to put on a show. But when we're in God's house, we should be there for the good we can do.
Because, I mean, I've been a fan for a long time, and I've obviously been listening to some records again leading up to this.
Yes.
And Freedom Highway, which was 65.
Yeah.
I mean, that's all recorded live, recorded in a church. That's a hell of a record.
Mm-hmm.
It's a statement of, I don't know, of defiance and but hope. Getting that emotion down on record is quite amazing.
It was great. Freedom Highway. But that was, we were living it. We were living it. And we would travel down in the South. You know, when we first started traveling, Pops would tell us, now listen, y'all, you're going down South. Everybody don't love you. You know, he would school us on how to be, you know. Oh, man, like I said, we lived it. The white guys, young guys, they would try to run us off the highway, but Pops wouldn't take it. He'd run right back into them, you know. Pops was not, he wouldn't take no mess. Nuh-uh. He said, when I was a boy, I done been through that. I've been through it, you know, and he wasn't going to allow them to
bully,
abuse us, bully us, you know. He'd go right back into them. You know, it's I was the night driver. And one guy just decided he would just call me the N-word. And Pop said, Mavis, pull over there. I pulled over to the office. Pops got out. And I saw him shaking his finger in Daddy's face. And Pops clocked him. We went to jail that night. That was the first time I've been in jail.
Wow.
Yeah, we went to jail because he told the police that we robbed him and we beat him up. We didn't pay him, you know. And when Pops was explaining to the chief what happened, they had us handcuffed, man, had us out on the highway with our hands up over our heads and had shotguns on us. Yeah. And dogs were barking. I've never been so scared in my life. And Pops told the chief, he said, look, you take me to another room, I'll tell you what happened. And after a while, the chief sent one of them to take my sister out to the car. It was all about that receipt. That's what saved us. Because the guy told him we did not pay for our gas. And Pops went in to get the receipt. See, when I asked him for a receipt, that's when he said, if you want a receipt, N-word, you have to come over to the office. And that's when Pops went over to the office to get the receipt. But while people, Pops was getting it, Pops gave him a good beating. Yeah.
Let's choose another name from your list. Let's talk about Benjamin Brooker. When did you first
Benjamin Brooker
fall in love with?
Oh, this little guy. You know, he wrote a song for me. He wrote a song for me, and he wrote it for that record, Living on a High Note. He wrote, I got friends and I got family. I got help from all the people who love me.
I got family. I got help from all the people who love me.
These were young songwriters for that particular album. I had told the Andy, the president of the company, I said, look, I want to sing some songs now to make people smile. I'm always making people cry, you know.
Well, some cheerful songs.
Yeah, well, right, I know, but I had heard Pharrell singing, I'm so happy, and I wanted to You know, he made me happy. He made me smile. And I wanted to do that for my people, you know. And so Benjamin Booker, I would tell him, give them my phone number so I can talk to the writers. I want to let them know what I want, you know. And when I some kind of way, while talking to him, I let him know my nickname was Bubbles, you know. And he even wrote it in the song. They don't call me Bubbles for nothing now. You know, I said, you said that like I'm finna hurt somebody. You know, but he's a little guy. I'm singing on his last record called Witness.
Yeah.
And I just, he's just a little young kid that has a head full of words, lyrics. You know, he's good. And he's special to me, you know. When he called me to sing that Witness, can I be a witness? Wanna be a witness? And when I first saw him, after he wrote my song, I hadn't seen him. I hadn't seen him. I said, it's a little kid. But he's a sweetheart.
Like the whole damn nation's trying to take us down. When your brother's dying, mother's crying, TV's lying. All the reasons in the world tell me shit to me now. See, we thought that we saw that he had a gun. Thought that it looked like he started to run. Thought that we saw that he had a gun. Thought that it looked like he started to run. Am I gonna be a witness? Just gonna. Trust. Now everybody that's broke can get the fuck on the ground. See, we thought that we saw that he had a gun. Thought that it looked like he started to run. Thought that we saw that he had a gun. Thought that it looked like he started to run. Am I gonna be a witness? Gonna be a witness?
Hey,
Welcome back, I'm Matt Everett, and this is the first time on Six Music, where we look at the key first moments in an artist's career. And my guest this week is Mavis Staples. And that was Mavis as part of the Staples Singers, with their massive hit single from 1973, If You're Ready, Come Go With Me. As you've already heard, Mavis is inexorably linked to the civil rights and protest movement in America in the 50s and 60s, and one figure from her life, understandably, made a huge impression.
I have to ask you about the first time you met Dr. King, the first time you met Martin Luther King. I mean, this is an amazing question just to ask.
Yes.
Let alone, yeah. You know.
It's just good. I have such a good memory.
I mean, wow.
I keep everything. I don't let nothing get away. But I first met Dr. King at his church in Montgomery, Alabama. We happened to be in Montgomery on a Sunday, and we didn't have to work until that night, like 8 o'clock that night. So Pops had been listening to Dr. King on the radio, and he called us to his room. He said, listen, y'all, this man Martin is here, Martin Luther King. He said, I like his message. I've been listening to him on the radio, and he has a church here. I want to go to his 11 o'clock service. Do you all want to go? We said, oh, yes, sir, Dad, we want to go. And we all got in the car, went down to Dexter Avenue Baptist Church. We were ushered in and seated, and someone let Dr. King know that we were in the audience, and he acknowledged us. He said, we're glad to see that Pop Staples and his daughters are here this morning. And we sit there, we listen to his sermon, and when he finished, he would stand at the door to shake the worshipers' hands as they filed out. And my sister and I walked past, we shook Dr. King's hand. And when Pops came, got up there, he stood there and talked a while. We waited for him, he finally came out, and we get back to the hotel. He called us to his room again. He said, listen, y'all, I like this man. I really like this man. And I like his message. And I think that if he can preach it, we can sing it. And we began writing freedom songs. Freedom Highway was the first. March up Freedom Highway. Made up my mind, and I won't turn around. And boy, we would sing, got to the place where Dr. King, we would sing before he would speak. And by this time, Popson wrote, Why Am I Treated So Bad? For the Little Rock nine black children trying to go to school in Little Rock, and that turned out to be Dr. King's favorite. And he would always tell Pop, now Stape, he called him Stape, either you're going to sing my song tonight, right? Pop said, oh yeah, doctor, we're going to sing your song. And we would sing Why Am I Treated So Bad. We'd sing about three songs, and then Dr. King would speak, you know. And you're talking about, he wouldn't say much to us girls. He would just, how you girls feeling this morning? We say, oh, we're fine, Dr. King.
Welcome to the world famous Apollo Theater.
when Dr. King was assassinated, we were right there. We were in Nashville. We were on our way to go to sing that evening. And at that time, we still staying at the Black Motel. There was a Black Motel in Nashville. And we were about to get in the car, and the owner, he could run around. Pops, somebody just shot Dr. King. They just shot. We got back in the room, turned on the news, and by the time we turned it on, and this announcer, he came on, he said, Dr. Martin Luther King has died. He is dead. And Lord, my sisters and I, we just, Pops couldn't hold us. We just went hysterical. It was unbelievable. Unbelievable that someone has shot Dr. King. This man, just an angel, you know. He was an angel. I would look at Dr. King at times, and I felt sorry. I said, you know, because either he had a worried look on his face or a sad look. And I said, Dr. King, but now I remember his laughter. That's what keeps, I remember all the men would be down on the parking lot getting ready to go to the meeting, and they'd be in a huddle, and all of a sudden they break out laughing, you know. And Dr. King, I knew his laughter. I could still hear it. I can do it. And I said, oh, Dr. King is happy. That would make me feel good to hear him laugh. Hear him laugh like that. I was just with his daughter, Bernice. Everybody was there. All of my friends. Andy Young, Congressman John Lewis, Clinton. And then here comes Obama and Michelle. And they got there late. Obama, Mavis, did you sing yet? I said, yeah, I sung. You missed it. He said, well, what did you sing? Freedom Highway and Why I'm a Tree So Bad. He said, oh, we missed it. I said, yeah, you shouldn't be late.
You're telling him off. That's brilliant.
I told him off, yeah.
You scolded.
Yeah, I did.
Obama. Tell me a bit about first getting involved with the band, because, I mean, what a group of musicians. I mean, God.
Mm-hmm. They were beautiful, beautiful guys.
That version you do at the end of The Last Waltz, this just...
Oh, man.
It's such a spiritual kind of moment, isn't it?
Yes, it is. And when we heard that song, you see, they were so good. We were the first to cover it.
Oh, right.
We did a remake of it. They wanted us to be in their movie, The Last Waltz. We had to be in Europe. We were over here somewhere. And they waited for us to get home, you know, so we could be in the movie. We're like family. We're like family.
Just need to find a place where I can lay my head. Mister, can you tell me where a man might find a bed? He just grinned and shook my hand. No was all he said. Take a load off Fanny. Take a load for free. Take a load off Fanny. To hide. When I saw old Carmen and the devil walking side by side, I said, hey Carmen, come on, let's go downtown. She said, I gotta go, but my friend can stick around. Take a load off Fanny. Take a load for free. Cause it's old Luke, and Luke waiting on Judgment Day.
about a young Anna Lee. He said, do me a favor, son, I want to stay and keep her Anna Lee company.
How do you feel about the current state of American politics? Because there is upheaval, there's unrest, there is tension in America. You can't deny it.
Can't deny it. That's what my last LP is all about.
Mm.
It's about hope. I had to go right back to protest songs.
Yeah.
You know, I want to sing about what's happening in the world today. And that's what's happening. And it's a shame. I've devoted my life to this. I've sang these songs all my life, trying to bring us together, trying to have peace and love. And here comes this, well, I don't call his name. I don't. But you know who I'm talking about. You know, but it's unbelievable. You know, I cannot believe that we are allowing this, our Republicans, you know, just to keep them on a level. You know, this is a liar. You know, just anything that comes out of the mouth. I said, what? Songs like Bullets Are Flying, People Are Dying, you know. We got work to do. And that's what I'm telling. I mean, it's time for us to put on our big girl pants and our big boy pants again. We got work to do. And we, only thing we can do is the best we can. If they hear us, every song on that album, Jeff Tweedy, I said, Tweedy? He said, Mavis, when I first saw what he was doing, I saw you, and I said, Mavis, we need Mavis.
She's going to be angry about this.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And so I'm going to give her something to sing about. But I tell you, the one little bit, it's just, I had to stop the engineer. I said, I got choked up, you know, because it's telling you that this young man, he's out and it's got stopped. Got stopped by the police, and he told them that he didn't have his license, and they But that ain't why they shot him. They said he was fighting. And so my baby won't make it home tonight. You know, it's just, I've seen so many won't make it home. I've seen so many young black men be shot in the back by the police, you know, and if you shot him in the back, how could he have harmed you? If he was running, I don't care how it was, he was in his back. You coward, you know. And then when he said, baby won't make it home, and I just dropped. I said, Tweety, you got to stop, because I have to start over. I can't finish right now. It's trying time. We're living in trying times. The United States, I won't say I'm ashamed, but I'm sorry. I'm sorry for us. You know, we got trouble, and it's a known fact. Everybody knows it. The Republicans know it, but because he's Republican, they ride by, go by what he said, just let it go, you know. So yeah, I'm back on the road to trying to bring peace and bring us together. I'm doing my old job.
This life surrounds you. Guns are loaded. This kind of tension, hard not to notice.
Right.
Do what you're told.
Do what you're told.
Gotta keep your eyes.
Keep your
wide
eyes
on this long, narrow road. A little bit too high.
A little bit.
A little bit too low.
A little bit.
Get a little bit out of line.
A little bit.
My baby won't make it home. Poor kid, they caught him without his license. That ain't why they shot him. They say he was fighting. So that's what we're told.
That's what we're told.
But we all know.
We all know.
That ain't how the story goes.
High.
A little bit too high.
High.
A little bit too bold.
Little bit.
A little bit out of the line. Now my baby won't make it home. Attention to the path before us. A little bit too high.
A little bit.
A little bit too low.
A little bit.
A little bit out of line.
A
baby won't make it home.
When you see your performances these days, the reaction you get from people, it's just remarkable.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people just still respond to you in a way that doesn't happen with a lot of other performers.
It's amazing.
It must feel fantastic.
It does. It's amazing. I am, you know.
You've had a life in music.
I'm just blessed. I'm just blessed. You know, the Lord saw fit to bless Mavis. You know, because I'm just a good girl. I won't intend to stop. And can't nothing stop me. You know, I'm healthy.
You're looking good.
I'm looking good. I didn't say that. You said that.
I said that. I can say that. I can say
yeah,
that.
Yeah. Well, I am. You know, I'm almost 80 years old, and I ain't sweating nothing. You know, I'll be here. I'm gonna be. I've got a job to do, and I'm gonna be doing it until I can't. You know, as long as I have something to say, I'm gonna be saying it. And I have something to say.
What's the last song we should play? We'll finish the show on a song of your choice. What should we play?
Okay.
Could be anything.
You're leaving this to me. I'm a radio announcer now. Ladies and gentlemen, We're going to close the show out with Who Told You That? Oh, it's just one that I love. I love the beat when I boom, 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 I'm first on you. There's one part that says, we don't want to rock the boat. Who told you that?
It's been a pleasure speaking to you. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much. I've enjoyed being with you.
Good, me too.
Okie doke. When I carry my load, or when I cry, I don't feel it anymore. It's like a rainy day that never goes away. Am I alone?
BBC Radio 6 Music.
Everything.
You only write one cigarettes and alcohol in your lifetime, if you're lucky.
Straight up bangers, obscure gems and long forgotten favourites.
Every emotion has a sound to it.
You just gotta do you.
This is Alt 90s on BBC Sounds.
If I were to live, what would you say?